LGBTQ podcast that gives you news and views from a non-straight perspective. This is Not Straight Cast, episode 36. Welcome. I'm Joe.
And I'm Becca.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm good.
That's good.
How are you?
I'm doing really well as well. It's been a good 2 weeks, but it feels like it's been forever since we did the show last. I don't know why.
It has felt forever.
It's not like we're doing this any differently.
No.
You know, or any odd time or anything like that there, but it just feels like, I don't know why, it's been a long time. So I guess maybe it's been a long week. I don't know.
It has been a long week. I feel like it's been a long week. Last week felt like a really long week.
But the one thing I do to say there is that, like, you know, we were complaining on the one show, it was cold. It's not cold here anymore. And it's only, you know, like, you know, we're still in winter months here, you know?
Yeah.
So in this case then, yeah.
Well, we had the spring of deception for a couple of days.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's what they call it there, don't they?
And then it snowed this morning.
Oh, it did. Yeah. That's right. I was asleep.
Okay. Yeah, it started snowing around 9 a.m. for a couple hours. It was just mostly flurries, though. So
I saw the Facebook feed from the National Weather Service. They were like, hey, let us know what your snowfall totals are. And I then turned on the cameras and I looked outside and it's nice and sunny and no snow. I'm like, this is from a half an hour ago. I'm like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, 0.0001 inches.
Right? Feels less than my boyfriend. Anyways. 0.0001 inches.
Oh.
But anyways, this is the first show that's on the new feed.
It's exclusively on the new feed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you're not on the new feed, go fuck yourself. Not that you'd hear it because you'd be on the old feed still, but anyways, also too, one thing is that also as well is that as of this show, we now have transcripts of the show. So if you don't like listening to us, you can then read us.
Yeah.
So you can access them through the RSS feed like Apple Podcasts or on our website under each episode. There'll be a download transcript link there.
All right.
So, yeah. And what's nice there is that with the transcripts, usually it will eliminate the and uhs and all that stuff that we normally say that we normally leave in the show.
Yeah.
They actually won't be in the transcript. So.
Okay.
But yeah, so I figure that's nice there, you know, because it's just sometimes nice to be able to read it as opposed to listen to it there.
Oh, sure. And, you know, like podcasts don't have closed captioning, obviously. So
are you that person who turns on the closed captioning on your television?
I am.
I am too.
Yeah, I have to. Like, otherwise, I have ADHD.
Okay.
And if I don't put that on, I miss half the stuff. So if I'm able to read it, like, it sticks better.
Plus, also too, a lot of people mumble nowadays on the shows. I don't know whether it's just me getting old or whether it's just the shows nowadays themselves are just worse.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's part of it. I think I don't understand. I have a hard time with accents.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That aren't mine, you know.
I, with my work, deal with a lot of people who are in India and they're bilingual, but unfortunately,
the accent's, I think, my work really heavy.
The people who barely speak English puts them in high positions.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of those folks too, because, you know, I work for that laundry company and we service a lot of the hotels.
Okay. So you got a lot of foreign workers, basically.
Yeah, we got a lot of Indian folk on those places.
Yeah, basically in this case, sir, I appreciate the fact that they're bilingual, you know, because.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, I know American Sign Language, but that's not really helpful most of the time. I've gotten to use it before.
Everybody's like, huh?
Yeah, I've gotten to use it a couple of times when I've run into deaf folk, but it's not one of those things that you get to use every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes you want to run into deaf folk to be actually able to practice and use it. Yeah.
Well, I had a friend that we were sending messages back and forth through Snapchat that way, but you know, that pittered off and we don't do that anymore.
Well, speaking of bad English. So the title of the last show was Excessive Lead Content because it was a play on the Stanley Cups that we were talking about on last show.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when I went to play the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
It said lead.
It said excessive lead content. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Then I was thinking about it and I was like, well, lead is a homonym or a homophone or homograph. I don't know. Apparently lead, the noun lead, as in, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a homophone. That's a homophone.
Is this spelled the same as lead?
Yeah.
Like a verb.
Yeah.
So it's pronounced differently though. So like I was saying there, is lead a homonym, a homophobe, or a homograph?
I thought a homophone was a word that's spelled the same but has two different meanings.
Well, I'll explain that, but all I have to say is this.
No homo.
So anyways, a homophobe are words that sound the same but have different meanings, like there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Homographs are words that are spelled the same but have different meanings.
A homograph, okay.
Homographs can be pronounced differently, like a bass fish or a bass guitar.
Yeah.
Or the same, like fair, meaning equitable or carnival. The word homonyms is often used to refer to all such words in general. Some words like bark fall into more than one category. Bark on a tree, bark of a dog are both homophones, sounding the same, and homographs being spelled the same.
Oh.
So lead and lead is a homograph.
Oh, apparently I need to brush up. Yeah.
No homo.
It's been a long time since I've had to diagram a sentence and talk about all those things.
Well, doesn't it piss you off whenever you're online and somebody's using there, or there, and they misuse it, basically?
Oh, yeah. I struggle between the need to correct grammar and having friends.
And it's like, they are. It's not that one.
And you know what? It's always like what really throws me off is like there's people that I talk to that I, you know, grew up with, went all through school with. We were in the same classes.
Mm-hmm.
But like we were in the same class. But then I think, you know what? Not everybody's good at everything. You know, like everybody's good at something. Maybe spelling and grammar just isn't, you know,
they didn't pay attention to that part, basically, is what happened.
Yeah, or they didn't, you know, it's not a thing that they learn. But you know what? I am not really a number person. Like I see numbers and I panic, which is weird because, you know, I work in accounting. But
right. Yeah. Like when I was going to school, when I was taking my classes, I was taking algebra classes when I was doing my associate's degree.
Oh, I struggled so badly.
I was going to school online when online first started being a thing. This is like the before like 2010, like 2007, 2008-ish.
Okay. Wow.
When
okay.
I got my associate's degree.
Yeah.
I was older when I got it. Anyways, the only classes I took in person were my math classes. I went on Saturday mornings, actually sat down in a normal classroom and got taught and everything. I did the worst in those classes than I did in any other class I took.
Interesting.
I mean,
do you think it was like just math or do you think it was the like in person versus online?
No, I just hate math.
Yeah.
I'm not a math person.
Yeah. Math was always like English and grammar was like writing. I love mm-hmm. to write. Like that was always and music, like all the right brained things.
See, the music thing I'm okay at. I wouldn't say I'm great at it. I'm very much an amateur musician. I play bass guitar. That's why I have all these bass guitars behind me here.
Oh, you're self-taught though, right? You taught yourself how to play?
Yeah, I don't know how to read music though. So
you know what? A lot of a lot of musicians don't. They just pick up an instrument and figure out how the hell to play it, and oh yay, they can't read a lick of music.
I'm in the still figuring out how the hell to play it phase. But I mean, it's okay. I do. I can hold my own in a band, you know, but
Yeah.
I feel like I have to work twice as hard. You know, it doesn't come
Yeah.
easy to me like it does to other people. And that's
Yeah,
basically.
that's learning instruments doesn't come easy to me. But singing always did.
And I think I'm an okay singer. I think I'm okay as a backup singer. I don't think I'm okay as a lead singer, but I always get shoved into that position of being the lead singer. And it's kind of like, you know, I feel like Geddy Lee, you know, from Rush, you know. He has a very unique
Getty,
voice.
he does. He has an interesting voice. Like you always know that it's Rush when they play, when they were playing, you know.
But I mean, Rush is a good band, though. You know, I admire
They
their
are.
musicianship. I mean, for three people, for a trio,
Yeah.
the sound that they put out is absolutely amazing. But of course,
That's
when you watch them in
amazing. Yeah.
concert, you know, they're kind of like their hands are doing things, you know, and then their feet are also doing things as well, triggering effects and everything. And it's just like,
Right. Yeah, it's just the three of them. Or it was. I mean, Neil Peart died, but.
yeah, they're one of the few bands I saw before he passed away. And I tell you what, there, it's kind of like a memory that always remain with, like with me there, because they are just absolutely amazing. They're just as amazing in person as they are on their records.
They are. I saw their Counterparts tour back in the 90s.
Okay.
It was fabulous.
Yeah, mine was the Snake and Arrows tours the last time I saw them.
Okay. That was a more recent album.
I have a funny story though, is that the day we were going to go see the concert, we took off work and we're sitting outside. This is like when I had a boyfriend at the time, and we were on the back patio of his place, and we had a bunch of tiki lamps around the deck kind of thing. And one of the tiki lamps caught on fire, like the wick, you know, like the wicker
Oh
around the tiki
no.
thing caught on fire. So I was like, okay, great. Let me go get the fire extinguisher and I'll put this out. So I got that skinny little fire extinguisher, you know, like the ones they have in your kitchen.
Yeah.
And I went and went to put out the fire, and I shot myself in the face with the fire extinguisher. I had
Oh
the fire extinguisher turned around incorrectly.
my
So I shot myself in the face. Thankfully, I was wearing my glasses, so I didn't get it in my
gosh.
eyes.
You
But
get the full Monty.
oh my God, that stuff is so drying
Yeah.
that it was just kind of like the rest of the day. I'm just kind of like stuffed up, you know? Of course, they're dying watching me do this. I'm just kind of like I'm walking around with like this white stuff all over my face there. And it's kind of
Like
like, you know,
Mrs. Doubtfire,
right,
hello.
blue.
Yeah,
But anyways, yeah, now that we got ourselves off track here,
totally.
talking
See,
about
that's what
music
I
here,
was saying before. Yeah,
right?
we
Oh
just go
yeah,
off.
we'd love to get off track, but
Yeah,
I mean, they're good and it's good conversation, you know.
it
It's not like we're
is.
being boring by any means. It's just kind of like we have a script, or we don't have a script per se. We kind of have an outline that we follow, and this is way off the script or the
Yeah,
outline.
we went completely down the rabbit hole.
So now we have, let's see, Not Straight Cast, this podcast. We have Not Straight Radio, the radio station, which I'll tell you a funny story about after I tell you this. And then Not Straight News. So I'm kind of like, geez, I'm building like an empire here, aren't I? I'm building a Not Straight Road. So guess what? I registered notstraightroad.com. And literally what it is, it's a portal to these three websites. So
It's
there you go.
very cool. So yeah, you just go there and click on something and it takes you to the other
I
feeds.
mean, it is what it is there, but I have a funny story to tell you about Not Straight Radio. So basically on Not Straight Radio, we play our podcasts and then we have ads in between. And then it plays another episode of our podcast and everything there. So think of it as like a playlist like you would have in iTunes, for example. You know, it just plays, you know, one file and
Yeah.
then another, then another, then another. Well, basically I was grabbing these files and putting them into a playlist off of my network drive. So on the computer that basically creates the audio stream, I basically was just like, you know, one file, you know, like the podcast and the ad, then the next ad, then the next ad, then the podcast, and so on and so forth. And it would just loop around and repeat itself. Well, I guess one day I decided, hey, I'm going to clean up the folders in which I have everything in here. And so basically I separated the podcast into their own folder. And the ads were already in their own folder. So I just left them alone. So I just moved the podcast into their own folder. So basically it was kind of like there's a folder that says ads and a folder that says podcasts.
Okay.
However, what I failed to realize is that on the server, because it was pulling the shows off of the location where I used to have them at and they're no longer there, and the ads are still in the same place. Basically, what happened is that all the shows disappeared out of the audio feed on the radio. So all the radio station was doing is playing the ads for hours on end until I realized what happened. It was all overnight, one night.
So like, it's like infomercials.
Compelling radio. Hours and hours and hours of ads. No content.
Is that starting to get to be like the streaming channels now?
It's like 9,000 channels and nothing's on now. Because it used to be like 500 channels and nothing's on. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are choosing streaming over cable anyways. Like I was just helping a friend of mine, like right before we got on here, hook up a Roku. Like, you know what she said? She lives in Florida, right? $300
wow.
for cable and internet.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, you need to stop that. Like you watch like 12 channels.
Speaking of cost of everything there, I guess you got new glasses, huh? Or you
getting
new glasses.
I am going to get new glasses. Yes. So I had gotten a new pair and I hadn't gone to the eye doctor. I just used made an executive decision and just, I'd read a little bit about how eye prescriptions work. So I bumped it up on a pair of sunglasses and it was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, so my sunglasses, I can see great out of. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing for my regular glasses and just avoid the eye doctor altogether. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. And I don't know if I put in like the wrong, I forget what it's called.
To get your glasses, by the way.
Zenni.
Okay.
Yeah. The one number is like the curvature of the lens.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I accidentally like changed it in some way. I thought I put in what was on my prescription, but I did not. And it wound up looking like I was looking through a fishbowl. So I had to send those back.
One lens real big. The other one real tiny.
Yeah. Like,
oh, no.
And it looked like Coke bottles. It was weird. Yeah. So I had to send those back and just went and made an appointment, sucked it up for next Saturday. So,
yeah, the nice thing is about eye appointments is that whenever you get your eyes examined, by law, they're required to provide your prescription.
Yeah, they have to.
Because I think that they probably are onto this and it's kind of like, well, not much we can do about it, you know.
But right, right. I mean,
I figure most people are still going to come and get their eyes examined. So,
yeah. But who wants to, like, I don't want to spend that much money. Like, it's like my insurance will cover some of the glasses, but it, you know, not everything, and not every place will also take my insurance either. I found out.
So I went and got my eyes examined at a doctor and I was thinking, hey, I'll get a pair of glasses because I haven't done that in a while. You know, instead of going through Zenni, you know, like you mentioned, which is great. Oh my God. I love that place.
Yeah, it's great.
So I figured I'll get a pair of glasses there. $378 with my insurance for the glasses. Holy shit.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, Zenni, a pair of glasses, which I have, which are transition lenses, which is why they're so expensive, or progressives. Not transitions. Transitions are the ones that
turn into sunglasses.
Like your dark, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, progressive lenses, those are expensive. And even on Zenni, considering that you can get glasses for like $30 if they're just single vision.
Yeah.
Like on Zenni, progressive lenses are about $100, which is, well, they're more like $70-$80.
Yeah, I think I paid like $80 for my sunglasses.
The joys of getting old, huh?
Yeah.
Anyways.
I know. I wish, like, I'm hoping that I'm able to do LASIK at some point and won't have to wear glasses, but.
Right.
You know.
But I think we'll still be wearing readers or cheaters of like,
yeah, I have bifocals and I still need to take my glasses off to look at my cell phone. So I just let them slide down my nose and look like a disappointed librarian.
What's wrong now?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, ooh. So the Carnegie Science Center is having a Titanic exhibit.
Ooh,
so fancy. I bought tickets to go see that next weekend when Sue comes to visit. So I'm really excited.
Are you
going to
hold her on the edge of the bridge, you know, and be like, like
I'm
Leonardo
the
DiCaprio
king
and
of the
Kate
world.
Winslet? Yeah, exactly.
But they have like actual like relics from the wreck, and then they have a couple of different like rooms that were made to be like the cabins that were on the White Star Line.
That's
And
cool.
when you come in, you get a boarding pass for White Star Line, and it, and the name on the boarding pass, it was an actual passenger on the Titanic. And then at the end of the exhibit, you get to find out if you lived or died. 1,500 people died in the disaster, and only 700 people survived. And the people that survived were the rich people, essentially, because they were, you know, they what they showed it when they did the film, you know, a lot of it was, you know, done for dramatic effect and everything. But when they locked them in, like the down in C or D deck or whatever it is, where the they had all the immigrants that were, you know, coming, like they really did that to people, locked them down there. And because they, you know, wanted all the rescue boats for the rich people. Women and children first, of course.
Right. No, it was rich people first, followed by.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Who else we could fit on there, basically?
Yeah. And
Oh,
they weren't
good Lord.
Putting, and like what they showed in the film, that they didn't fill up the boats that much. Like that was literally what happened. Like they were so worried about the rich people being comfortable in these boats. It's like, come on, man. That they were only sending them out half full.
You know what I hate the most, actually? Yeah, getting on rich people here. It's kind of like people who aren't rich trying to pretend that they are rich. You know,
I know.
The amount of people driving Mercedes and BMWs who are like literally, you know, paupers like the rest of us, you know? Just kind of like, and then you actually meet actual rich people and they're driving, you know, like a Jeep Cherokee, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, you're actually driving a functional car as opposed to something that's, you know, completely, utterly expensive, you know?
Like a Beamer.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like people who have BMW and Mercedes and who aren't rich turn me off a little bit.
Yeah.
There.
It looks pretentious.
Yes, very much so. And it's kind of like, that's the thing I avoid at all costs, trying to be as pretentious, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, if I had a little bit of money, be like, hello. You know?
Pardon me. Do you have any gray Poupon?
Wind in my window, my Rolls Royce, my Bentley. You know?
Oh, so have I told you about Cluck Norris?
No, I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah, because okay. I noticed on our script it says Cluck Norris.
So the town of Brentwood is a suburb of Pittsburgh, and we have a town chicken. Well, it's a town rooster, and the locals have christened him Cluck Norris. And so people like have been like taking pictures. You'll see him walking around. We don't know who this chicken belongs to. But they named him Chuck Norris, and he's in the running for mayor if the people have anything to say about it.
Hopefully he wins.
Yeah.
We need a difference.
Well, I thought about making him a webpage and trying to do what I did. I don't know if you were paying attention to the whole pork chop the pig phenomenon that happened a couple years back.
Okay. Did you make him like a Facebook group?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It wound up going viral. This local pig that was in our neighborhood, it went viral, internationally viral. Uh-huh. Like the entire town went nuts over it. And even the mayor declared her a citizen at that point. It was wild. So like the radio station was involved.
Oh yeah.
Like
they love that kind of stuff. That what you love.
Oh yeah. In a small town like that, like Herron, Illinois, like just Southern Illinois altogether, is small town USA. So like they were
big
excited.
News in a small town, basically.
Yeah. So people were actually coming out of town to see if they could find this pig, because like Where's Pork Chop became the thing. So I was thinking about starting a Where's Cluck Norris and see what happens. You know,
yeah, nobody else has done it yet. Why not?
Yeah, you know? No, nobody has. So that's where I might be going with that.
Awesome. 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 So anyways, yeah, we're going to go ahead here and take a break, and we'll be right back. Let's start the news here on Not Straight Cast.
Vacaya is a fresh approach to LGBT plus travel. One focused entirely on LGBT plus guests and creating memorable bespoke experiences built around amazing destinations, stellar entertainment, world-class hospitality, and endless fun. Vacaya's full ship and full resort vacations are built for the entire LGBTQIAPK community, so guests can have the freedom to express their individuality, make personal connections, celebrate life, rev up, or simply relax together. So if someone believes that love is love, then they belong on a Vacaya vacation. Fuel your Vacaya dreams with their e-newsletter or book a vacation by visiting nsc.lgbt/vacaya. That's nsc.lgbt/vacaya.
If ensuring speed and security for your websites is a top priority for you, then search no further than Vox Onyx's shared website hosting plans. Vox Onyx uses SSD-powered servers and provides numerous site acceleration tools that will make your websites load noticeably faster. Additionally, Vox Onyx has deployed ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, Vox Onyx will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system at no cost to you. Get started with a free 30-day trial. You don't even need a credit card. At voxonyx.com. That's VOXONX.com. Afterwards, it's only $4.42 per month. Visit voxonyx.com to get started now.
And now it's time for the news. Becca, you're up first.
So, it's for the locals here. We're going to be talking about a tragedy that happened.
Well, this is more like almost become like a national kind of thing now.
It has, yeah. So, Jamie Stickle's name is synonymous with warmth, generosity, and a life cut short under mysterious circumstances. Her unsolved death has haunted the LGBTQ community in Pittsburgh for over two decades, and the forthcoming release of The Girl with the Same Name, The Cold Case of Jamie Stickle, is a new podcast that aims to shed light on this enduring enigma. It's hosted by Jamie Stickle, a writer, actor, and podcaster who just happens to share the same name as the deceased Jamie Stickle.
Let me stop you for 1 second here. Their names are spelled differently. The deceased is J-A-M-I-E.
Yeah.
And the person who hosts the podcast is J-A-I-M-E, but they're pronounced the same.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So Jamie Stickle was a bartender and a philanthropist, and she was known for her involvement in causes like HIV, AIDS research, breast cancer, and multiple sclerosis. And she was not just a bartender of the LGBTQ bars in Pittsburgh, but also raised funds and awareness with every drink she served and every event she hosted. Tragedy struck 22 years ago on February 8th, 2002, when Stickle was killed in a fire that also consumed her Jeep Wrangler outside her Northside Pittsburgh apartment. Police investigations yielded more questions than answers. No suspects were identified, and the case went cold. In the wake of this tragedy, the community came together in solidarity. Candlelight vigils were held and the United for Jamie campaign was launched, culminating in events like the memorial that saw 48 candles casting a soft glow along Liberty Avenue, each flame a testament to Stickle's life. Fundraising efforts amassed significant funds in hopes of finding new leads, and despite the reward offered, Stickle's case remains unsolved. There's hope that the podcast will help resolve Stickle's murder. Until then, all we can do is remember her memory. And you know what? I remember when this happened. Like, I actually hung out like at Images and the Saloon and stuff a lot back in those days.
So you actually knew who Jamie was?
Yeah, I knew who she was. Like, I'd had conversations with her. I wouldn't say that, you know, we were like buddies or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't hang out, but like we knew each other from, yeah, you know, just being out and stuff. And she was an epic person. Like, you always hear people say, oh God, why Jamie? Like, she was such, mm-hmm, but it really is like that. It's like, why'd it have to be her?
Like, she was just that kind of person who just lit up the room whenever she walked into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And something that she, you know, was known for is if you walked in there and you sat down at a bar, at the bar, and you're by yourself, she'd introduce you to the person over here and make sure, yeah, that you had a friend, you know. Like, she was just very cool like that and very welcoming. And like, especially if you were a newcomer, you know, maybe you just came out and you're just starting to go to the bars, like, she was the person to talk to in those situations for sure.
She was a people person.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where they make, you know, they, yeah, pretty much their, I don't know what really has to explain it there, but it's just kind of like, you know, they're kind of like a force
to be reckoned with. Them,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you know, everybody has their theories on who they think it was. Like, I have my own ideas about just because of the people that were involved in that. And
because they like to have you actually, like, the first episode of the podcast is now out there. So I guess you and I have listened to it there, and
yeah,
they talk about that in the podcast.
They do. They do. She, that other Jamie Stickle is doing an amazing job,
yes,
covering this story. Like, she goes really, really into detail about it, and she talks with locals. Like, she's not just getting this information from the internet. Like, she came, mm-hmm, to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And she talked to people. I know she talked to, like you said, Eddie Pellion, who does karaoke at a couple of the bars here in Pittsburgh.
But I guess at the time he was a bartender at the bar Images, which was used to be a bar in,
yeah,
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah.
He used to do karaoke there too as well. And he,
yeah,
Jamie.
Yep. Yep. And, I went to the funeral. It was horrific.
I would imagine.
I mean, obviously, you know, it was a closed casket and everything, but, just the shock of that happening, so close to home and to somebody, yeah, you knew and cared about, you know, just the violence of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. It's very much like bad things sometimes happen to good people. And this is definitely one of those cases there where it's kind of like, how does somebody get lit on fire inside of their Jeep, outside of their apartment?
Yeah. Yeah. It's somebody had to have done that. You know, that was personal. Yeah. It was personal. And, mm-hmm, unfortunately, the fire made it so that there was no evidence. I mean, they had, yeah, to identify her from her dental records.
Because the firefighters putting out the fire didn't realize there was a person inside the Jeep until after, right, the fire was out.
Yeah, because somebody just reported a car on fire. They didn't know anyone, yeah, was even in there.
Mm-hmm. And also, too, the fact that they were finding things that, like, she wasn't a smoker, but they found, like, cigarettes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There were things that just didn't make sense. And all of us that were around in those days, you know, the bar people, you know, we all have a pretty decent idea of who did it.
Okay.
But, you know, that's just, it's all circumstantial, really.
Right. They can't prove anything, unfortunately.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They can't prove anything. So.
They literally got away with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, you know, I'm hoping that this new podcast, you know, maybe they'll discover something that the police didn't find last time. Like, you never know. Like, cold cases are solved all the time.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a very sad story. You know, it's just kind of like, but it's good they're doing this podcast. I mean, Jamie's doing a fantastic job of doing this podcast.
She is. Hopefully, and there was some stuff on there that I didn't even know about. So, yeah, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, the following episodes, I guess it'll be on Spotify every Thursday.
Yeah. It was very captivating there. I was like,
it was.
I was hooked basically. Listening
it's a
to this
wonderful here. Investigation. It's a wonderful show the way she's doing that.
Absolutely.
It really shows respect to Jamie.
It exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, and it really shows a great deal of respect for the gay community of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, continued success with that there, and hopefully they find who
Who did
murdered
it?
Jamie.
Yeah.
So, speaking of people who don't deserve the ground that they walk on, Matt Gaetz.
Ugh.
Oh, God. So, prosecutors may have declined to charge Matt Gaetz over allegations of federal sex trafficking, but the problems thankfully keep piling up for one of the most unpopular members of Congress.
He is so foul.
The House Ethics Committee, which restarted its probe into Gaetz and his alleged behavior, recently acquired text messages from a young woman who told investigators in 2021 that she had sex with him at a drug-fueled party, the Daily Beast reports. The unnamed woman's attorney said that she was paid to attend. The lawyer went to say that the woman received payment in connection to multiple sex parties involving people in the anti-LGBTQ Florida congressman's orbit. The pressure is heating up against Gaetz, who earned scorn from House Republicans for a successful effort to oust Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. During the chaotic process, Republican Representative Mike Lawler of New York called Gaetz a vile person, and Representative Tom Cole of Oklahoma, who chairs the House Rules Committee, said that it was time to take the sharp knives away from the children. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma went a step further, saying that many House members believe that allegations against Gaetz, from sex trafficking to solicitation of prostitution, are true. He said that there's a reason why no one in Congress came to and defended him, because we have all seen the videos he was showing on the House floor, that all of us had walked away of the girls he had slept with. Mullen also alleges Gaetz would brag about how he crushes ED medicine and chases it with energy drinks so he can go all night. Yeah, is he right? Blah. Right. Apparently, that's the behavior that was happening at Gaetz's parties. The women told prosecutors she and others were provided all kinds of controlled substances at the events in question. Text messages also show Gaetz propositioning the women to join him on a May 2017 trip to Florida Keys, along with three women and one other man. While the woman says that all sexual interactions with Gaetz and his pals were consensual, her attorney says that the widespread abuse of alcohol and drugs at the parties played a role in attendees' promiscuity. The availability of vast amounts of alcohol and controlled substances gave rise to the lack of control of the hormonal imperative, which inspired people to engage in intimate behavior that may or may not have been because they were financially remunerated, lawyers said. The woman received nearly $2,500 from Gaetz's then bestie tax collector Joel Greenberg between March and July 2017. Greenberg struck a deal with prosecutors in May 2021, pleading guilty to child sex trafficking, fraud, and several other federal crimes. In a confession letter, Greenberg said that Gaetz also paid to have sex with a 17-year-old who was at the center of the sex trafficking charges against him. Gaetz was accused of supplying the girl with drugs and alcohol, flying her to the Bahamas, and having sex with her. The Department of Justice didn't wind up charging Gaetz in the probe following a multi-year investigation. But as mentioned, the House Ethics Committee continues to look into the matter. Gaetz told colleagues that his campaign against McCarthy was due to the rebooted probe. Despite all that animosity, Gaetz recently suggested that McCarthy be named head of the Republican National Committee, giving his fundraising prowess. But it looks like that gig will be awarded to Laura Trump anyways. The California Republican who resigned from Congress at the end of 2023 didn't sound pleased with his adversary's endorsement. He said, "I think people see how far Matt Gaetz will go in the fear he has of that ethics complaint. He's trying to protect himself, and that harms our caucus, and that harms our majority," he told the Washington Examiner. "In the end, people will see why Gaetz would want to do that. And I think in the end, Gaetz would have a hard time being a member of Congress and staying out of jail too," he also added. So, oh my God. Yeah, it's just like, it's like we have Teflon Don, who was our president.
The
And now we
Republican
have
Party is
Teflon.
like this cesspool of like the worst of humanity. Like I've always been a progressive.
Yeah.
I don't really identify as a Democrat liberal, more of a progressive. But and I've never agreed with much that the Republican Party had to say, but that was all policy you know, stuff. Like now we're talking morality at this point. It's like
be a good human being. Don't be a complete utter piece of shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And what do they think was going to happen? They're going to put them, they're being loud and obnoxious. And of course they're going to get airtime, and airtime means the people are going to be poking into your personal life. Like, did they think these things were going to stay covered up forever? Like,
I mean, the whole entire George Santos thing, but also too, apparently Matt Gaetz has a nickname, Rapey McForehead.
I've heard that. I have heard somebody call him that before. There's this creator on TikTok that he's called Nursing and Muscles, or Muscles and Nursing. I think it's Muscles and Nursing. Okay. But he does, you know, a lot of political content, and I don't know if he's the one that came up with that nickname, but he's the first one I heard using
it's
it.
It's just funny as hell.
Yeah, he also calls Marjorie Taylor Greene Sporkfoot McGee, which I think is appropriate, all things considered.
Absolutely. Oh my God. The names these people come up with, you know.
I love it, man. The nicknames are probably the best thing. Like, you see all this horrible stuff going on, you got to find somewhere that you can stick a laugh in there.
Like, exactly.
You know, got to laugh at some point.
There's not much to laugh about nowadays, unfortunately.
No, there isn't.
It's yeah, and so in this case, we're going to go ahead and take another break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Next Benedict. So, yeah, that's something not to laugh about at all there. But anyways, we'll be right back to Not Straight Cast after this break.
Discover new intimacy with Eden Fantasies.
Dive into a world where your fantasies become reality with tantalizing toys handpicked for pure pleasure.
Every item is a tool for either self-love, partner love, or both.
Each toy is a high-fun and high-quality product with a stamp of approval from industry experts and passionate users with a 70,000-plus review base.
Indulge without breaking the bank. Save up to 85% off-site wide and enjoy free shipping on orders over $50.
With Eden Fantasies, every moment is a confession, a thrill, and a discovery.
Visit nsc.lgbt/EF.
That's nsc.lgbt/EF. Body Jewelry has been in the business of supplying high-quality body jewelry items for more than a decade.
They supplied navel rings, nose studs, barbells, nipple rings, any item of body jewelry you need.
Their items are crafted from top materials like gold, titanium, steel, and silver, all by leading body jewelry designers.
They also provide fast shipping within 24 hours of your order.
Listeners to Not Straight Cast can visit nsc.lgbt/body to check out their gallery of products.
That's nsc.lgbt/body. Okay, so we're going to get back into our news stories now. And we are going to be talking about Next Benedict, who is the non-binary high school student in an Owosso, Oklahoma high school that was brutally attacked in the bathroom by three girls, and they died that night. And so we're going to be talking about some brutality and hate crimes. If you aren't in the mental place to handle that, please feel free to skip ahead and listen to it when, you know, you're in the right headspace.
Yes.
So Next Benedict, an investigation is underway into the death of a non-binary student in Owosso, Oklahoma, one day after a physical altercation with other students. A complete autopsy was performed by the medical examiner on the student, and Owosso police said in an update on the investigation on Wednesday, February 21st. Police said the autopsy did not indicate that the student died as a result of trauma, which is horseshit. Preliminary information from the medical examiner's office is that a complete autopsy was performed and indicated that the decedent did not die as a result of trauma. Owosso police noted further comments on the cause of death are currently pending until toxicology results and other ancillary tests are received. The official autopsy report will be released at a later date, police added. And during a Wednesday press conference, the Owosso Police Department shared an update on the investigation and noted that a complete autopsy was conducted on the student Benedict in an interview with The Independent. After the initial autopsy, it was reported that next died of causes unrelated to the attack on them, and the family is considering a private autopsy. Now, it's important to note that when Next was attacked by three girls in the bathroom, the teacher that found them did not report the hate crime. The police were not called. They skipped any procedural thing that would have been necessary in a situation like that. In fact, the school suspended Next for violence and did not hold the girls accountable.
Wait, so they suspended...
They suspended them instead of the girls that attacked them. And you know what the excuse they're using is that they started picking on Next. Like it started out with that, like people in the school picking on them about the way they dressed. And then I guess one day they laughed at something. And so it became making fun of them for their laugh. And it just, you know, went on down the hill. And so Next was in the restroom and these you know, girls walked in and started on them and Next like splashed them with water. So they are saying that Next started the fight by splashing them with water. That was the assault, not what the girls did to them.
I mean, but yeah, it's just absolutely incredible how like the reasoning is that, oh yeah, these people were bullying them during the whole time. And
yeah,
yet they're the one that get in trouble about it, you know?
Yeah, Next complained of symptoms of a concussion to their mother, and they died hours later. Like at a school board meeting, Sean Cummings, the vice mayor of the village, a suburb of Oklahoma City, told members of the Oklahoma State Board of Education at a Thursday hearing that they had emboldened bullying and hatred towards the LGBTQ community, and that discourse may have led to Next's death. So I don't know if you guys know, the libs of TikTok influencer Chaya Rachik, who she is heinous, by the way, and the State Board of Education, Cummings claimed, had blood on their hands for Next Benedict's death. Rachik is a right-wing hate monger who in January was appointed to the Oklahoma State Board of Education. And through her libs of TikTok social media accounts, Rachik posts content created by left-wing and LGBT people on TikTok and other platforms, often with hostile, mocking, and derogatory commentary.
So, and yet these people get in the power, right?
Yeah, yeah. And like people like her, like,
because they were doing all the inflammatory posting first, then they got appointed to the school board, but it was kind of like,
and she wasn't held accountable for anything. Like nobody ever is, you know, because of this whole free speech thing. But you know, there's a such thing as hate speech, and it's a crime.
Words have meanings.
Yeah, and so they're basically just trying to sweep this under the rug, and.
We did this. Now we have the kind of like put the toothpaste back into the tube kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, they're doing everything to downplay it and, you know, make it sound not important. And you know, the way the Republican states are being run, it's an authoritarian regime. And, you know, if that continues, like that's going to be the way it is. Like, you remember how things were before, you know, there was a hate crime law put in place.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talked a little bit about the, you know, gay panic defense on a past show, which is, you know, illegal in a lot of states now. You can't use that anymore. But, you know, in these states that are, I don't even want to say Republican because they're not even traditionally Republican, like these are extremists.
Okay. And just basically, yeah, they're like Nev was killed without any consequence, you know?
No, there was no consequences. Yeah. And they were the one that got suspended.
Exactly. Because they're the ones who splashed water in the bully's face.
Yeah, because that's so much worse than getting your head pounded against the ground. Like that's what they did to them. Like they grabbed their head. These girls grabbed their head and just repeatedly pounded it against the concrete in the bathroom. And there was they
when they say that they have a concussion, they're not taken seriously, and they die the next day. It's kind of like,
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah. All
Yeah.
right. I guess there's a GoFundMe now, right?
There's a GoFundMe.
For Max.
If you just go online and look up Next Benedict, it should come up for you. It's being organized by I believe it's a friend of theirs named Sean Sharp.
You know, we talked about Jamie earlier in the show. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of these, you know, murders are senseless, pointless, and, you know, they need to be, you know, they need to have some resolution. So hopefully they can find
Well,
out why, you know.
the commonality that I see in, crimes like this is the police not doing enough or pointing the finger, back at the victim.
Like you brought this upon yourself. No, I
Right,
didn't.
right.
Just by existing, I didn't bring this upon myself.
And you know what? That had been suggested. I forget who said it, but watched some video earlier today.
It was like the body cam footage of like
They released the
of them at
body
the
cam.
doctors.
Yeah. And they were really pushing Next not to file charges.
Yeah. Because it was basically because they splashed water on the girls, it could be. And that's where the retaliatory thing came into effect. That it was pretty much that's why they could press charges against them.
Yeah.
So,
And it has. It's given me Matthew Shepard vibes
yeah, very much
because
so.
they didn't do a fair amount of investigating into Matthew's death until people made a stink, and that's what's going on right now. The whole of the LGBTQ community across the nation is fighting for justice for Next. And
Absolutely.
we just have to keep being loud about it and not stop talking about it for them to be able to do anything. Because I mean, you see what happened with George Floyd, a couple years ago. Like they weren't going to do anything to fucking Derek Chauvin. Like they weren't going to do
But
anything.
people need
It,
to keep talking about it, you know.
need to keep talking about it. Don't let it die.
Yeah.
Don't, go on to the next thing. Make sure that that's, kept alive and that the people that are responsible are held accountable. Otherwise, there's gonna be things like vigilante justice happening, and that doesn't help anybody.
Now, moving on to something lighter.
Yeah, let's go.
So, Matthew Morrison, who played Will Schuester on the musical teenage drama Glee, so he revealed that he once asked to be written off the show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, in the years since Glee finished, the Ryan Murphy series has been rocked by all sorts of conspiracy theories, controversies, and memes upon memes about Will Schuester. Fans agree that the Spanish teacher turned Glee Cup coach was wildly unprofessional figure at McKinley High School, from recruiting Finn Hudson to New Directions through blackmail to performing sexually explicit songs for students to a severe mishandling of his LGBTQ students or sensitive issue. Glee just wouldn't be the same without Mr. Schuester. It turns out that fans came close to seeing what that might have looked like, though, after Matthew Morrison revealed that he had tried to leave the series after season 5. In the new interview with his Glee co-stars Kevin McHale and Jenna Uskowitz on their podcast, And That's What You Really Missed, Morrison revealed that he was actively trying to get off the show. He told the podcast host in season 5, "I asked to be off the show because I was just like, I'm no longer being used in the way I wanted to. No disrespect to the show. We are at a high. I was like, maybe if I get off the show, I could do something else, go to a movie." And they agreed to let me off the show. Plans to write Morrison off the show, however, were eventually scrapped when Cory Monteith, who played Finn Hudson, tragically passed away in 2013. The Glee team agreed that they couldn't see both of their male leads leave the series, though, after Monteith's devastating passing, they asked Morrison to stay on. Cory passed, and then they said they couldn't do it because you can't have the two main guys on the show leave, he recalled. He goes on to say, "So, yeah, it was an interesting time. I was like, yeah, I get it, you know, trying to reconcile my own wants and selfish needs with the grief of losing an amazing friend, you know, there's a lot of mixed emotions." He goes on to conclude, "But I'm a professional. I showed up, I did my job, and there's a good pay increase. So that worked too. You know, it's always more money, you know." It's kind of like,
That's a good incentive.
Elsewhere, in his appearance on the Eskowitz and McHale's podcast, the Broadway star admitted that his mental and physical health took a toll amid the show's success. "I was so stressed. I broke into the greasiest psoriasis," he recalled. "Our bodies are not designed to go through all that kind of pressure." He continued, "I think it was just everything building up for me. It was just a physical manifestation. It was my feeling inside. The psoriasis was everywhere in my body, but my face was okay. But then it slowly started coming at my ears and my eyelids." While overall, Morrison said he loved the experience and appreciated it for what it was, but it was hard to put his body through 16 hours of work a day. And not like, woe is me, because this was an amazing opportunity, he said, but we were all there and it was like a war. So with all these new revelations, it begs the question, did anybody actually have a good time on this show?
Well, there was so much that came out of that. Like Corey Monteith died. Yeah. And then
Leah Michele.
She played Rachel, and they all said she was a complete nightmare to work with.
She just seemed that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like her character, I guess, is pretty close to how she is to work with.
Right.
In real life. And then, you know, the one Maya, she died. She was one of the cheerleaders.
Okay.
The dark hair girl. And like she went missing on a boat somewhere and died. Like she was with her son or something. And like,
oh wow,
she was on a boat. So, and she just disappeared. And to the best of my knowledge, nothing, like they never, I don't know if they found her body or she was just gone. And so then
just like lots of mysteries about this show, huh?
Yeah. And then there was another guy, the guy that played Puck, wound up getting in trouble for like pornography or something.
Right. He's and in jail now.
No, he committed suicide.
Oh yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was stuff surrounding that whole show. There was, I guess a documentary about it that I'd seen a while back that like talked about all the things that went on behind the scenes, and it was pretty gross.
Kind of like now you think about it and it's like, could they make a show like Glee nowadays? I'm kind of like, oh no. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take our last commercial break here. So in this case, then we'll be right back with more Non-Straightcast after these messages.
Amazon Fresh offers grocery delivery on tens of thousands of products, from a complete grocery selection to everyday essentials, toys, gifts, and more. Fresh is prime customers' one-stop shop for great deals on national favorites, new tastes, organic, and more. Get started with Amazon Fresh at nsc.lgbt/fresh. That's nsc.lgbt/FRESH.
Want to support Not Straight Cast? Visit the notstraightcast.com/store, where you can get a Not Straight Cast t-shirt, hat, bag, coffee mug, and much, much more. Along with getting some snazzy merchandise, your purchase at the notstraightcast.com/store also helps support the show. Once again, that's notstraightcast.com/store.
Welcome back to the Not Straight Cast. Our next story is about Pride in London.
All right. So a spokesperson for Pride in London, which organizes the annual Pride March in London, has said that corporate groups interested in marching in the parade this summer will need to engage with the organization year-round. Throughout the year, Pride in London runs a Pride in the City campaign to provide support to LGBTQ colleagues. And supporting LGBTQ colleagues is a key objective of the campaign, which helps corporations engage with them and support them. And those who join Pride in the City receive training on topics including how to make transgender and non-binary colleagues feel more welcome at work and creating an inclusive workplace for LGBTQ people. Queer colleagues are connected to community groups, activists, and grassroots organizations at events, which are also opportunities for networking and professional development. Businesses can join Pride in the City for £7,000 per year, which includes entry to the Pride in London parade, as well as all year round in-person and online networking opportunities. Smaller businesses can pay a subsidized fee of £5,250 if they have an annual turnover of less than £1 million. So, like, basically they're calling out companies that right. are virtue signaling.
Because I know we deal with this a lot. We dealt with this a lot with Pittsburgh Pride.
Oh, yeah.
As well, they're, you know.
Oh, yeah. Suddenly there are rainbows everywhere. But, you yeah, know, right? when it's not Pride Month, they're donating to you know, groups and affiliations that are actively trying to take our rights away. And, you know.
And that's the big joke with the LGBT community. It's like, you know, you turn on June, it's like it's Pride Month. Everybody's yeah. like, you know, rainbows and, you know.
Everywhere.
Unicorns and everything. And then, you know.
Yeah.
In July, it's like, fuck you. You
know? Yeah. yeah. And Lord. I think this is what they're doing, I think, is a great thing because it's going to weed out those companies that, you know, are only trying to make money off of us.
Right. Exactly.
And not being like actual allies.
Yeah. It just amazes me. There is like Pride has become, you know, especially these marches have become very commercialized, you know.
They have.
But here's shit I'm not going to put up with in our moment of conclusion. This is gross, okay? So you may want to skip this one. Passengers aboard a Delta flight from Amsterdam to Detroit got a surprising and disgusting announcement from the pilot an hour into their flight. They'd be turning around due to maggots falling from a bag from the red bin, firing the passenger in the process.
Oh, God. I would
Passenger Philip Schotta. I know. Yeah, this is gross. Just reading this here. Passenger Philip Schotta, who is Dutch and lives in Iowa, said that he saw a maggot fall on a woman at the end of his row and saw several more fall around her seat. I noticed the lady on the other end was doing something on the empty chair next to her, but couldn't quite see, he told NBC News. I kind of peeked over again, and I saw that there were a couple of maggots on the chair. She was trying to kind of contain them and stop them from falling off the chair. As soon as she noticed that I noticed, she explained that they were falling from the overhead storage. He went on to say, I could see that she freaked out. She was also composed, like she wasn't really screaming or yelling or anything, but I could tell she was freaking out internally, especially when I could see that one actually fall on her. She immediately flinched and made sure this maggot was off of her clothes.
Oh, my God.
He and the other woman called for a flight attendant, but had to wait for the takeoff process to finish. Once they did, the flight attendants opened the storage, and several more maggots fell out, Shaka said. He ended up moving to a new seat five rows back, and the woman who was getting rained on by the maggots also moved.
Oh!
Yeah. When the flight attendants identified the bag the maggots were coming from, a male passenger claimed it as his, and it was opened. When the bag was open, everyone was still sitting around that area immediately pinched her nose because there was clearly a bad smell coming from it. Shaka said that he overheard the passenger explain that there was fish in the bag.
Oh, my God.
Right? I don't know exactly what was going on through his mind at the time, but he seemed pretty calm throughout the whole entire ordeal. Ultimately, the bag was wrapped tightly in plastic and taken to the back of the plane. Around the same time, the pilot alerted the passengers about the maggots coming from a bag on board and announced that the plane would turn around. There was kind of like, I don't know if paranoia was the right word, but at least a fear of maggots walking around, Shaki replied. He saw the passengers pull out their phones and turn on the flashlights to check their surroundings for the creatures. He went on to say there was a little bit of chaos starting in the back of the plane. I think it was probably the right call to turn the plane around at that point. I had moved about five rows back, and by that time we were landing, one of the maggots already made its way over to my row, he said. When the plane returned to Amsterdam, Shaka said he saw a cleaning crew on board when he deplaned. It's not clear if anything happened to the passenger who brought the rotten fish on board. So I guess the passenger's flights were rebooked. The person, Shaka, we were talking about, ended up returning to his final destination, Des Moines, in the same day. Delta apologized to customers in a statement saying that their trip was interrupted due to an improperly packed carry-on bag. The aircraft ended up returning to the gate and customers were placed on the next available flight. And the aircraft was removed from service for cleaning, they said. Oh, good Lord. I mean, how the heck did that make that through TSA?
That's what I was wondering the whole time you were
Right?
talking. I was like, how did he get through with a fucking fish? Like, you're not even allowed to really bring drinks onto a plane. Like, a fish
Right? Yeah, they had to be
made it
frozen
through
for you to get them through the TSA, or you had to buy them at the
at the
gate,
airport.
basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. And
It's
this.
like, but the TSA, they're probably like holding their noses while they have a sign there that laptops have to be taken out of the bag, while the
Yeah.
person at the TSA is screaming that they have to stay in the bag.
Don't
And then you take it out of the
open
bag, and they're
that.
screaming at you to put it back in the bag, and it doesn't need to be out of the bag. And it's just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
I
Oh,
fly like
God,
once
that's
a
so
year, twice
gross.
a year, and it's just like, yeah.
That's
It's
so
just in,
gross. Oh, my God.
right?
And it reminds me of something that happened. So an ex of mine and I lived in a nice place. It was nice, you know.
Okay.
And like it was a house that like the first floor was our entire apartment, and then upstairs there was two separate apartments. And we had like major trouble with neighbors in there pretty much the whole time we lived there, but this one took the cake. And so the one day I am home, it's my day off, I'm cleaning, I wipe off the kitchen table, and we had like a big cabinet on the one side that was built in, and like it, we had our garbage can like in this cabinet. So I opened the cabinet door, threw the paper towels in there, closed it, turned around, and there's a maggot on the table.
Oh no.
So I'm like, where the hell did that come from? So I'm like, okay, I got another piece of paper towel and my trusty spray and sprayed it off, cleaned it up, turned around, threw it out. By the time I turned back around, there's a couple more maggots on the table. Like, what is going on? So I cleaned that up and you know, went through the whole thing again, rinse and repeat. And I turned back around, and right as I was turning back around, a clump of them fell from the ceiling fan.
Ew, yuck.
They fell out of the ceiling fan. I called my ex, and they were like, you know, put the pipe down, Beck. Like, quit smoking all that weed. You're imagining things.
Yuck. What ended up happening there? Basically, was it like the upstairs neighbor?
It was indeed, because I went up
They
and
die?
no,
Okay.
worse.
Worse.
That would have been explainable, like with this. So I go up to talk to them and ask if they're having any trouble. And Joe, when I tell you that they lived in filth,
Oh
that
no.
doesn't even describe it. They invited me in, and they had this dog up there in this small apartment, and there was clothes, dishes, empty pizza boxes, all kinds of
Right?
takeout containers, and there was dog shit all over the place.
Ooh.
The boyfriend was sitting on the couch eating a slice of pizza, and there was dog shit on the couch next to him.
Ooh.
So
Oh, good Lord.
she's like inviting me in, like this is no big deal, dude. I've been
Yeah.
mortified. And I saw their kitchen. And we had noticed that they never took trash out. They didn't take
It was all
trash
in the
out.
kitchen.
It was all in the kitchen. It was bag after bag after bag after bag was just piled up. Like they'd been just leaving it there for months. The floor was moving. It was moving because there were so many maggots. And they were under their sink, and that's where it was falling from. Like that's it was coming
Oh,
through
God.
from their kitchen into my kitchen. And the landlord, they were, you know, in disbelief too. And they're like, well, why don't you check and see that, you know, you don't have anything in the flower? Because sometimes, you know, I'm like, no, these are fly larvae. Like, this isn't moth larvae. This is
Yeah.
fly larvae. And
Check the neighbors upstairs.
yeah, so I called the landlord. I called them, and that's what they had told me originally. And then I called them back and was like, y'all need to check the people upstairs, dude. I was like, like fortunately at the time, like the landlord was actually someone I went to high school with, so we were real
Okay.
cool, you know. So I was
Yeah.
like, dude, yeah, gotta see what's going on up there. And they gave them 24 hours to clean it up, or else they were getting kicked out. And they didn't clean it up. Of course they didn't. But then, listen, so this was months later, they have been kicked out. And my ex and I went to dinner at this restaurant. It was this brewery that used to be up in Monroeville and
Okay.
had steaks and stuff. And it was pretty good. So we sit down to eat. And who comes to our table as our waitress is that girl that lived up there. I'm like, oh
Oh, oh
my God,
God.
she works with food. She works with food. So we got up and left. We're like, no.
Oh,
I
God. Yeah,
know.
I'd like walk out now.
Yeah, we're like done. Like, here's money for the drinks. We're done. Like,
Yeah, next time I ask you to tell me a story during the show, don't.
I'm so sorry. I told you.
It's okay. It's
I
fine. Don't.
mentioned that earlier. I'm like, boy, do I have a story of my own.
And I was like, yeah, tell it during the show.
Yeah.
Now that we've grossed out everybody.
Everybody. Well, that restaurant isn't there anymore, in case anyone's wondering. It was shut down.
Good.
Thank you for listening to Not Straight Cast. Subscribe to us where all podcasts are sold. Visit Not Straight World, which will allow you to access all of our websites, Not Straight Cast, Not Straight News, and Not Straight Radio at notstraightworld.com.
We want to hear from you. Email us at feedback@notstraightcast.com or record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/VM. Your voice message can make it on a future show. And until next time, have a not straight one. Bye for now.
Bye.
Copyright 2024, Voxonic LLC.